Welcome to Text Messages. These recommendations for teen readers are produced by ReadWriteThink.org, a partnership between the National Council of Teachers of English and the International Reading Association.
This is episode 81 of Text Messages, a tribute to Patty Campbell. I'm your host, Jennifer Bueller. A long time ago, before the internet, people who wanted to learn about young adult literature had just a handful of options. If they were lucky, they could discover quality new titles in libraries and bookstores. If they were professionally active, they might read about YA books in publications like English Journal or hear about them at conferences. But in general, it was hard to find out about good new books for teens. It was even harder to connect with other YA readers, especially ones who could talk about the books in terms of their literary merit or who could speak knowledgeably about trends in the field. That was my life when I became a high school teacher in the early 1990s. Looking back, I can point to the day when things changed. It was a summer afternoon, and I was browsing the magazine section at Borders Bookshop in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Amidst a variety of titles about writing and publishing, I came across one called the Horn Book Magazine. It had an illustrated cover and a tagline that read, "About books for children and young adults." This was the first time I had seen a periodical dedicated to kids' books, so I was intrigued. Paging through the contents, I didn't see much about literature for teens. Still, I was grateful for the chance to read reviews of new YA titles, which was more than I'd ever had before. Then, near the back, I stumbled upon a column titled "The Sand and the Oyster." It was written by someone named Patty Campbell, and the focus was squarely on young adult literature. With growing interest, I began to read. This was my territory, and here was a person who had sassy, opinionated things to say about it. I didn't know a thing about Patty Campbell back then, but she caught my attention that day, and she's held it ever since. I wasted no time in buying myself a subscription to Hornbook. Afterwards, whenever a new issue came in the mail, I flipped eagerly to the table of contents to see if there was something new by Patty. When there was, I devoured it. I couldn't get enough of her encyclopedic knowledge, her irreverent spirit, or her elegant style. I came to know Patty through her writing. In the process, I discovered a fellow traveler, someone who loved young adult literature as much as I did, but who knew so much more. Over time, I learned about the many dimensions of Patty's work in young adult literature. Her roots as a teen services librarian in late 60s Los Angeles, when YA as a field was just beginning. Her long and distinguished career as a writer and critic. Her privileged role as Robert Cormier's biographer. And her shaping influence as the editor of Twain's Young Adult Author Series and Scarecrow Studies in Young Adult Literature, both of which feature books dedicated to the scholarly discussion of young adult authors, genres, and controversies. When I first encountered Patty in person, on a hallway bench at the Allen Workshop in 1998, I swooned with fangirl enthusiasm. It's hard to be subtle in the presence of one's literary heroes. Clearly, Patty's footprint in the field of YA lit is large, but for me, her influence has been personal. As a student of literature, I had always been a resistor in the realm of literary criticism. In college English classes at Yale, I was a poor writer of analytical papers. I just didn't know what to say about the Odyssey or King Lear. I certainly had nothing to offer that was original. Even worse, I didn't see the point. I was more interested in what readers did with books than what scholars and theorists had to say about them. I was wrong about literary criticism, of course, but only by reading Patty's column did I start to understand why. Part of the reason I had shunned criticism in the past was because I'd been reading the wrong stuff. Patty's work showed me something new. Her critical writings were full of voice and life. She brought not just knowledge to her discussion of young adult literature, but intelligence, sophistication, passion, and wit. She wrote about the current moment in books and publishing, but she linked what was happening in the present to patterns and events in the literary past. each new trend was richly contextualized within the history of the field. When Patty dedicated an entire column to a new book she viewed as seminal, such as Walter Dean Meyer's Monster, and this was before it won the first ever Prince Award, I knew to take notice. Patty's writing compelled me to think more deeply about what I read, and to make connections between individual books and developments in the field as a whole. What's more, Patty gave me a language for talking about YA as a literary genre marked by definitive patterns, rules, and themes. Through her writing, she showed me that once you've identified those literary markers, they serve as a framework for evaluating the quality and significance of each new book you encounter. They help to illuminate the lay of the land in YA publishing, and they help YA devotees explain the contours of the field to others. They also help us to better understand our own responses as readers. If we think a particular book is good or bad, it's important to be able to provide an argument as to why. When we ask ourselves what a book has tried to accomplish in terms of voice and style, structure and form, significance of theme, and scope of ambition, we push our thinking beyond the realm of personal preference and we sharpen our interpretive skills. Patty's essays taught me as much as any literature course about how to read a text and notice its complexities. I am a smarter and more discerning reader from having studied the way Patty evaluates young adult literature. Perhaps most importantly, Patty showed me how the work of the critic can shape authors' careers and the wider world of literature. Through her writing about books like The Chocolate War and Wheatsy Bat, I saw the impact that critical writing can have on the way books are taken up and thought about by other readers. When you agree with a critic, his or her sensibilities influence your own. You see things in a book you might not have otherwise noticed. You appreciate the significance of small details that you might have otherwise missed. Patty taught me that a critic can use her position to bring attention to new books and new voices, to help us see and name literary excellence. At the same time, the critic gives us perspective on where we're headed and where we've been. In Patty's work, I saw how criticism can tell a story about a body of literature that others may be inclined to dismiss. If the story is intelligent and compelling, it can change the way people think about individual titles and the entire field. Because of Patty, I now understand that critical writing about books increases the likelihood that those books will be taken seriously. Criticism elevates books, authors, and the field itself. Patty's criticism has been doing this for more than 40 years. Because Patty's influence on my life and on the universe of young adult literature has been so significant and lasting, I decided to pay tribute to her in this podcast. Today's YA readers benefit from knowing the wise elders of our field, those who promoted, defended, and celebrated young adult literature when doing so was far less popular than it is today. Furthermore, those of us who see ourselves as today's YA advocates need to know the history that we build upon when we speak and write on behalf of these books and the teens they serve. Patty Campbell is at the center of that history. However, I knew that I could only represent bits and pieces of Patty's story on my own. By including other voices, I hope to offer a more substantial and enduring tribute. Therefore, late last fall, I called upon three of Patty's longtime YA colleagues to help me in my task. At the Allen Workshop in November, I gathered brief but loving words from YA librarians Diane Tosillo and Kathy Dunn McRae, each of whom count Patty as both a mentor and a friend. Then, over the telephone in December, I soaked in over an hour's worth of stories from Professor Joni Richards-Bodart, who has been friend and colleague to Patty almost as long as I've been alive. Each of these women is a YA expert in her own right. Each one knows the field and the impact that Patty has had on it. In order to elicit their testimonials, I pose three simple questions. Who is Patty Campbell? What contributions has she made to the field of YA Lit? and why is her work important? The answers they gave reflect the broad reach of Patty's career, her influence on teen library services, on literature and literary criticism, and finally, on individual lives. I'll begin with Diane Tosillo. When I asked Diane to introduce Patty to podcast listeners, she led with Patty's early work in libraries. Diane's comments highlight Patty's influence in the realm of practice, that is, the daily work of turning teens into readers.
Patty Campbell is one of the original YA librarian gurus. She was somebody who worked in California as a teen services or a young adult librarian, which is what we called them then. Sort of a hippie young adult librarian way back when beanbag chairs were popular in teen areas. And collections were very diverse with mostly paperback books, kind of a free-flowing kind of an attitude of YA. And she kind of set the stage for a lot of us who became young adult librarians during that time. I started off as an English high school English teacher and decided to get my master's in library science. And she was one of the people that I studied and learned about, you know, her perspectives on being a young adult librarian, how to reach teens with doing book talks, you know, how to set up a teen area so that it would attract teens, that kind of a thing. So she was one of the originals as far as like getting teens into the library in the first place and connecting them to libraries.
Of course, Diane went on to talk about Patty's great investment in YA Lit itself. But she emphasized that Patty's critical writing has done more than shape the field in literary terms. It's also influenced how librarians go about their everyday service to teens.
She always treasured young adult literature and promoting it and felt so strongly about young adult literature and still does. I mean, she really knows the literature well, cares about the literature, knows how to write about the literature and share her ideas with others. And I think that's one of her biggest contributions, is helping to inspire those of us who work with teens and books and reading. We are the ones that are the recipients of her knowledge, those professionals that read her work and hear her speak and have known her through all these years. And then we apply what we learn to what we teach to our kids and how we approach our kids. You know, how do you do a good book talk? Why are you book talking? What's the purpose in sharing this literature?
Next, I'll turn to Kathy Dunn McRae. Like Diane, Kathy has deep roots in teen library services. Consequently, she too testified about the impact of Patty's early critical writing on the way librarians thought about young adult literature. More specifically, Kathy reminded us about the embattled history of YA. She pointed to Patty's work as the editor of a young adult author book series as being part of the reason why negative views of YA began to change.
Well, she really started this Twain Young Adult Author series, which I'm sure you've found, and that was, young adult authors at the time were really not, they were dissed, basically. They were not respected. It was, you know, this, oh, they're not meaningful, it's not adult literature, blah, blah, blah. And she really brought that up notches and notches and notches by having books about so many different authors. And biographical books, and it was her idea. She was the editor of the whole series, and I think that in the library world, that brought young adult up so many notches. And that was her. That was just her. She thought it was really important. People don't necessarily remember that because it was a long time ago, but now young adult, I mean, look at this. Look at Alan. I mean, it stands on its own feet now, and everybody knows what young adult books are. And, you know, this just didn't have the chutzpah then. It just didn't, and Patty was a huge mover and shaker on that.
Kathy also spoke on a personal level about how her own career developed and flourished as a direct result of Patty's mentorship. The story she told speaks to the less visible side of Patty's influence and the powerful impact that professional kindness can have on the lives of others.
Patty she taught me everything. I can't even it's just so wide. And when she wrote a column in before The Sand and the Oyster, she wrote a column in Wilson Library Bulletin. I don't know if you've unearthed that yet. It is now out of publication, but it was one of the major library magazines. And when she was finished with it, she had other things she wanted to move on to. She bequeathed the column to me, and I was a total unknown. But she said she'd seen my writing. She knew I could do it. And I was overwhelmed that I was young, and she was like this master of everything. And she said, I know you can do it. And I did. She had faith in me. You know, when you're out there and everything's new to you and you're young, you don't know what gifts you have to give. And she saw them, and she helped to bring them out. And that's the biggest thing. The biggest thing.
Those are gifts. Taught me. Those are favors you can never repay,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, she taught me about who I was. Yeah.
I'll end with testimonial from Patty's longtime friend, Joni Bodart. When I asked Joni to explain who Patty is and how she came to be such an important figure in the world of YA Lit, her emphasis was on Patty's long history with YA and how, from the beginning, Patty's critical contributions brought recognition to the books as important works of literature.
Patty is one of the greatest resources on YA literature in existence. She was around when it started. She embraced it. She adored it. She promoted it. She did everything that she could do to raise this new literary baby right. She was the first person to write critically about young adult literature, to recognize the value and to explain that value to everyone else who wasn't able to see it. All along, from the birth of YA Lit to the present day, she and her writing have been there to explain YA Lit, to uplift it, to critique it, to clarify why it is important that teens read about other teens, and to fight against those who would downplay it and say, YA Lit is just schlock, it's garbage. And as a result, she has gotten just about every award that has ever been given in the area of young adult literature and librarianship. Some of those awards are from ALA, some of them are from the young adult division of ALA, and some of those are from ALAN, the Assembly on Literature for Adolescents, which is the young adult literature branch of NCTE.
Joni went on to note that the scope of Patty's influence extended beyond the realm of libraries. Patty also helped lead the charge in calling for changes in the curriculum of English classes.
Not only did she work with and promote young adult literature with librarians, but she also took a step back or a step sideways and began to promote YA Lit as a literature appropriate for the classroom. Why ask kids of today, and of course today has started in the 80s and come right along, but why should kids of today have to read books that are about times and places that they don't know anything about, where they don't see themselves, books that are written in a writing style or writing styles that are no longer widely read today, when they could get, students could get the same high level of literature that is present in young adult lit today? She was one of the first people to say, think about what you're doing. Let's put some of this really super well-written, teen-centered book in the classroom and introduce teens to books that they can identify with, that they can connect with. So if you look at any area of the field of young adult writing in general, and who's involved in it, from producers and publishers to librarians, teachers, she's influenced every group of people during the arc of her career.
I was intrigued by Joni's point that Patty has even influenced the realm of publishing. Earlier in our conversation, Joni had mentioned the names of several legendary people in publishing who Patty had worked with and who I'd heard of or met over the years at the NCT annual convention. Bill Morris from HarperCollins, George Nicholson from Viking and later Delacorte, and John Mason from Scholastic. I asked Joni to say more about how Patty influenced the field on that level.
I think that they had a deep respect for her knowledge of the field and her knowledge of what the next step in the field might be. And when she said something about this is somebody to notice and pay attention to, they did. They noticed and they paid attention and they encouraged those people to write more and to write better.
Joni went on to echo Kathy Dunn McRae in explaining how Patty helped raise YA Lit into the realm of respectability. She added that Patty has been able to do this not just because of her passion for the books, but also because of her wealth of knowledge and her fearlessness when it comes to defending YA against its detractors.
YA was a stepchild, and it was a muchly maligned stepchild. And Patty is one of the folks that set up to defend it, to lift it from stepchild to real child, real part, an important part of the publishing world, and now finally to favorite kid, where it's outselling everything else. People who disparage YA Lit will find in her an impassioned foe, one not easy to battle, since she has fact, figures, and history at her fingertips and does not hesitate to step on others' toes and fingers if that will help her defend YA Lit.
Joni's final words give us one last glimpse of Patty the person, and they remind us of the difference that one person can make in the lives of others and the world at large.
Patty is a phenomenon. She really is. She is able to sweep people up in her passion for literature. She's able to inspire them to become better at writing, at promoting, at defending. I think YA Lit would have existed, but there's no way I think it would have been the same without.
If you'd like to read Patty's writing yourself, you can find a sampling of her favorite essays from Hornbook Magazine and the Wilson Library Bulletin in a book called Campbell's Scoop, Reflections on Young Adult Literature, published as part of the Scarecrow Series in Young Adult Literature in 2010. You can read Patty's biography of Robert Cormier, which includes critical discussions of his entire body of work in Daring to Disturb the Universe, published by Delacorte Press in 2006. Patty's contribution as an anthologist appears in a book called War Is, Soldiers, Survivors, and Storytellers Talk About War, co-edited with Mark Aronson and published by Candlewick Press in 2008. And finally, you can trace Patty's continuing influence on young adult literature by watching for the release of new titles she's editing for the Scarecrow series. Three books are forthcoming in 2015, one on virginity in young adult literature after Twilight, one on sexual content in young adult literature, and one on the psychological meaning of human monsters in young adult literature. A new biography on author John Green is also in development for Scarecrow. I hope you will read Patty's books and use them to guide the teen readers in your life. Each title should be available at your local library or bookstore. Remember that no book is right for every reader, so preview books for appropriate reading level and content before passing them on to your teen. Next month, I'll be back with a show about audiobooks. I'll explore how reading with your ears, as Terry Lassane calls it, is a different but equally legitimate way to experience a text. Then I'll go on to introduce you to some of my favorite YA titles on audio. Until next time, I'm Jennifer Bueller. More episodes of Text Messages are available at readwritethink.org/textmessages. You can listen to our elementary book podcast, Chatting About Books, at readwritethink.org/chattingaboutbooks. Text Messages is supported by the Verizon Foundation through thinkfinity.org and produced monthly by the National Council of Teachers of English and the International Reading Association. Music in this podcast is courtesy of Scott Andrew. Thanks for listening and look forward to more text messages soon.